Okay, it's open line time. So I'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Man, can you believe we're already into March 1st already? Unbelievable. Now, not this weekend, weekend after. That's the time switch again. Those of you who participate in daylight saving time, that's spring ahead, 1 hour. So here we go. It is starting earlier and closes later because of the new law, new legislation that they passed. But man, I can't believe March 1st already. It just keeps ticking by. I'm going to be 58 on June 4th. And I never, ever thought that one would attain an age like that. Where does it go? To the phones we go. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
I'd like to tell you a story about my granddaughter.
All right.
3.5 years old, sitting in the car behind me, taking her to preschool. She's looking out the window. She's commenting on what she sees. She mentions, you know, this woman who's obviously very pregnant walking across the street. And I say, yeah, it looks like she's smuggling basketball. She says, no, she has a baby in there. I said, oh, you know about that. She goes, uh-huh. And I said, oh, you used to be in your mommy's tummy, huh? And she goes, uh-huh. And I said, you know what? Your mommy used to be in my tummy. And she says, yeah. I said, mm-hmm. And your Uncle Jake, he was in my tummy, too. She says, yeah. I said, yeah. And then I said, and your Auntie Mary, she was in my tummy, too. And she says, oh, no, not Auntie Mary. I said, yes, Auntie Mary, too. And she says, no, Auntie Mary was in my tummy. She was. She says, mm-hmm. And Grandpa, too. I said, Grandpa? She says, uh-huh. I said, well, what about Uncle Jake and Auntie Jenny? He says, no, just Auntie Mary and Grandpa. And she was very adamant that her aunt and her grandfather had been in her tummy.
That she might have been the reincarnated mother of them, huh?
Think so.
That's weird.
Okay. Love your show, George.
Okay, thanks. Little kids. You know what? Little kids, they know things. They really do. Next up, let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I have a story about sleep paralysis.
Okay.
This happened to me about 4 years ago. I'm lying on the couch. It's late at night. I turn the TV off. And the dining area is open. There's no wall between the living room and the dining area. So the couch is not up against the wall. And I am where I think I am in between being asleep and awake. And I can't move. I'm awake. I can't move. And I feel like there's something hovering over me.
Is it the old hag?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Every other account I've ever heard of this, especially on your show, is people tell this story that their eyes are open. And but mine, I could not open my eyes either.
You were that paralyzed.
But when I finally was able to move, I come off the couch like a rocket, because I guess my body was so tense trying to move. And I sat there for the rest of the night, scared to death. It was the most horrifying experience of my life.
I wonder what you would have seen had you been able to open up your eyes.
I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, my gosh. Peering down on you, some ugly hag.
You know, I'd like to think it's something other than that, but...
No, it never is.
but one more short story.
Yeah.
When I was 16, 17 years old, coming home one night on a Sunday afternoon, I spent a night weekend with a buddy. He was taking me to my house. And we turned off the main road, and I live in the country. And we're traveling down this dark, dark country road. And out of the driver, I'm in the passenger seat, and out of the driver's side, I see a crescent moon. And as we're riding, I'm not paying it much attention because it looks like the moon. Well, when I look out my side, and there's a moon. And so I start looking at this thing out of the driver's side again, and my buddy said, you see what I see? And I said, yeah, I see it. And he said, good, I didn't. He said, I thought I was crazy. So, anyway, we stop the vehicle, and we get out, and we're looking at this thing.
And you're the only ones looking, or somebody else, too?
Just me and my buddy.
All right, no other cars, then.
No. And we're sitting here looking at it, and probably 15, 20 seconds after we stop the vehicle and get out and look at it, the whiteness goes away, and there's just a red light. And my friend said, it looks like it's closer to your house, so let's go to your house and see it. And so I said, okay, so I'm keeping my eye on it the whole time. And it was almost like, just like a flash. It started moving, and then it was gone.
Truly classic UFO case.
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yes, a matter of fact, Monday night, you're going to be able to listen to the show?
Yes.
Monday night, I've got a fellow on by the name of Art Campbell, who is an elderly UFO historian. I mean, this guy has looked at them all from way gone back. You got to listen to Monday night's program. It is a UFO extravaganza night, and this guy is like one of the all-stars of ufology, so make sure you're listening. Let's go to our next phone call east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hello. Is this me, George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, George. This is Sean from Pittsburgh. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to everybody in the Pal Talk room on Coast to Coast Dam.
Absolutely. Listen
to you guys nightly.
Great.
In there.
Thanks.
And, all right, I just wanted to say, out of all the guests, you know, you've had PhD Dr. Jason Rand on, you've had Marshall Masters on your show. Based on everything you've done, George, as a radio host, what do you really think is going to happen in the year 2012?
I think... Now, a lot of people don't agree with me. I was just on a panel with Richard Hoagland and Danian Brinkley and Sean David Morton, David Wilcock, and William Henry here in Los Angeles several weeks ago. Everybody has their own theories.
Right.
I think the Mayans knew that the sun was going to heat up. I think it is going to be some kind of a solar event. Hopefully we'll get through it. I used to think it was going to be a moment of enlightenment. I think something's going to happen to the sun. I think around that time period, we're going to get hit with some X flares or something like that's going to happen.
Now, what about the whole Planet X, though? Do you think that's coming in? And I know that article that you guys just featured, it was actually on Discovery.com.
Sure. I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, that's a possibility that's not talked about a lot. But
right.
You know what? It might happen. Who knows?
And I know you guys are probably going to have some kind of special.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I look forward to that.
What a program that'll be, huh? 4 years from now.
Thanks a lot, George.
Okay. That'll be December 21st, 2012. We'll be here. We'll have a number of guests, probably close to 15, coming and going. We're making the list up now. That's how important this date is. We're getting ready for it. Friday, December 21st, 2012. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jackson. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Oh, sure.
Which is the center of the universe.
That's right. And the voice of Ross Mitchell. Up
really?
There. Yep. That's
I'm responding to your previous callers tonight who mentioned their children that were so knowledgeable about being places and things.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're indigo children. And I'm 52 years old. When I was born, there was very few indigo children coming to the planet, and every generation after that, more and more were coming. Now there are so many indigo children that are arriving and on the planet, and they're connecting and they communicate psychically.
I think they're going to save us one day. Don't
you?
Do you
think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you believe that indigo children are coming and they're being born, there's a reason for it.
Exactly. What I find very interesting, there were no schools for indigo children in the United States or North America.
That's because they don't publicly acknowledge this.
Right, right. Well, there's a guy up in Oregon, James Twyman. I think he's building a school right now. But I just had to respond. I'm a kind of a new listener. I've been listening for a couple months now.
How'd you find us?
A friend of mine. And
word of mouth. That's how it happens.
Yeah, and I tuned in, and every night, you know, it's just so interesting. It's just...
And it's always different. You're going to get something different every night. I mean, you know, sometimes it's going to be a creature night. Other times it's going to be a scary night. Other times it'll be a conspiratorial night. But overall, you keep listening, you're going to get a lot of variety.
It's a great show.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I've got plans, by the way. You know, we're worldwide with StreamLink now. I mean, we've got subscribers in a lot of little countries, but I really want to take StreamLink worldwide, and I'm working on a project on that now where we can open up the doors to possibly millions of other listeners who are in England, in China, in Japan, and all over the place, because I want them to get the exposure to this program. And with the world of computers now, I think it's achievable. But what I'm working on is just the ability to get the word out to people with computers worldwide. And that's what I need to find. I've got some people working on it. If there's an expert out there somewhere, send me an email, and I can get you in touch with the right people here, and we can figure out how to do that, because I'll do that. And just in a moment, by the way, at the break, I'll do my little traditional shout-out to all of you listening on your various ways. But that's what I want. I want StreamLink to be truly worldwide every day. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
This is Greg calling from Columbus.
Yeah, Greg.
Columbus, Ohio. I just want to say to my grandma, if you're listening, hello, Grandma.
I hope she does. She listen a lot.
Yeah, she does. She's the only one that knows about it besides me.
What's her first name?
Marilyn.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So anyways, like, I was listening to Stephen Quayle last night, and I just was kind of blown away because he validated a lot of my ideas. And, I just makes me kind of feel better that, I mean, he was kind of a doomsayer, but...
He is. He's kind of scary, but he doesn't hold back either. I mean, he just lays it out there.
I think he said what he identifies what you're afraid of as opposed to, like, scaring you. So.
Absolutely.
So I think that was a good point. But basically I was wondering if, I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but just if you think, like, that the powers that be, the controllers, as he called them, were trying to destroy America, or if they're trying to ruin us, or if they're just more trying to put us into a position of control, like financially, or if they're trying to actually destroy the whole world economy.
The theory is that there is a group higher than high. And they're Europeans, some of them are Americans. Their goal is for themselves, self-greed, self-power. What they want is to topple governments that get too strong and get too big, like ours. And what they want to do is even the playing field. So you see what's happening in Europe now with the euro dollar growing and growing, the U.S. dollar plummeting and plummeting. That's part of their plan. It's been a plan that's been in effect for years now, and they've got us. And we don't have the right players involved to fight it or to do the right thing, and we definitely don't have thinkers right now. And,
right.
And what they want to do is topple our form of government and create more of a one-world government. They can't do that unless they can control this country. And you can only control this country if you bring it to its knees economically and stretch us out militarily. You're not going to beat us on a one-on-one war, but you will get us if you keep making us stretched out. And some of the people who are involved in this have been giving, I think, our leaders a bum advice, and our leaders take it, and they're making some stupid mistakes.
I was wondering if you think that, or how you think that the situation, how they describe the scenario of bringing the extraterrestrial plan into existence, like
to trick us.
Yeah, like in what, like, who do you think? Like, I know there's like different. They consider there's different aliens like involved. Like, do you go along with like Ike's idea of like the reptilian group as becoming like the ones who would come into charge or something, or like, do you have any kind of like ideas on like what the differentiation between the different groups of aliens that are among
well,
us?
Well, you know, I believe we've been visited. I think these UFO cases, by and large, are real. Even if 5% are real, that's an incredible story all by itself. But I don't know, honestly, and I don't understand why we're being visited and what the purpose is and what they want. I mean, you know, I come from the school. It's an old school that, you know, you're above board with people, and you tell them what you want, and you make it happen. And if you don't, and if you're deceptive, you know, you're not in that kind of limelight. You lay back. And that's what I see happening in the UFO world right now. They're laying back. They're deceptive. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius to try to figure out that whatever it is, it might not be the greatest thing. So I don't think it's one of these, you know, yay, they're here, we're saved. No, not at all. There's another motive, I think. Let's go to the international line. Where are you calling from?
Victoria, British Columbia.
Excellent. Go ahead.
My name is White Eagle. That's a healing name, Dennis, I was given by my folks. Are you there, George?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to thank you. Of course, we listened to Art Bell for years, My Lady Angel. Actually, we were on the road for a couple of years. We actually took a picture of Art Bell's plays. And when we developed it, this is interesting, we kept the film for 10 years, and I just got it developed a few months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And the light, it was totally black, but his tower and his double wife, humble guy, right?
He could live. He is a humble guy.
Mansion, yeah. He is a double wife.
A humble guy. He could live in a White House if he wanted to.
White House. And there the light was on my lady, and then she took a picture of me, and my feet showed, but his house again showed from both back and front. But we connected, and then the black on either side was kind of different, because I know the black forces have been really after him over the years, and obviously.
Send me a picture. I'll send it off to him.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought of that.
Your
life has been, I was chaplain, Oakland County Jail for 4 years.
Yeah.
I was Dennis at that time. I won't get my last name, but those that know chaplaincy.
Who was your prosecutor then? Brooks Patterson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And he was running for governor. And he made a young man who is serving time in Jackson right now. He spent 5 years as chaplain in Jackson.
You know, before he was the Oakland County prosecutor?
Oakland County Jail, when I was at the jail there, he was running for governor.
Yeah.
And he made a real light, I can say, David, who's still serving time, and I want a prayer to go out to him tonight. David Kaiser, beautiful young man who's been there since 19 years of age. We're praying he'll get out.
What did he do?
Oh, at 19, he went on a binge at 19, he and his lady, partying, and killed a guy out of Liberty Bar. They went out in the woods, and the guy was going to buy his woman, all of my money exchange.
Oh,
I was chaplain in the jail. He came in with a $5 bill, George, dipped in blood, and that put him away for life. His girlfriend, Paula, also got life.
Was it self-defense? Or just he was
he freaked out. He was on STP or animal tranquilizers, plus drink.
God.
And I sat through the week and a half trial with his folks. I can say, you know, Dale and Dorothy. I don't say the last name right now, but I did say David. I did say his last name, but I want a prayer to go out to him big time.
I might have gotten a letter from
him. He became my clerk when I became my own chaplain, state chaplain. Here I'm Canadian, and they actually bypassed their rules to put me in a state chaplain because I'd been 4 years Oakland County Jail. But Brooks Patterson, get back to him, he made a case of David because he went AWOL in Kentucky from the Army, number one, and then because he killed this guy who was in his 40s.
It was one of his campaign cases, wasn't it?
I believe so.
But as you know,
on prisoners and treat them rough. And because of that, David ought to be out.
It didn't
through that trial.
It didn't work because Brooks didn't get elected governor. Not in the state of Michigan. Hey, I got to take this break. We got to take this break. I'll be back. Okay, finally, it's time to thank all of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America. Hello to you, StreamLink members. Thank you for all you do. XM Satellite, Channel 165, and then the various chat rooms all over the place. Of course, the NighthawkZone.com folks, they're always there, always innovative, always coming up with something novel there. Imaginative Worlds, the Fantastic Forum folks, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, Pal Talk Group, MySpace Group, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, and so many, many more. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the number one rated late night talk show in the world. Okay, welcome back. Let's take some more calls. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
How's it going, Dave? Thank you for getting
it. It's going well, David. Thank you.
Yeah, have you seen the pictures on YouTube with regarding the alien base that was found in the North Pole area of the moon?
No, I have not seen that on YouTube. Tell me about it.
Okay. I was looking at the KUGLA, satellites. And Japan just put one up there in orbit there. China put up one called the Chang-1, I believe, and Japan put up one called the Kyugla.
Okay.
Yeah, I just stole my truck down here. And, yeah, and if you look, just as it's going over into where the moon gets to the darkness, it's like the horizon line. It's not the far side. It's the dark area.
Right.
Yeah. You throw a little bit of soft light. It's a software light on that. If you have a, you know, a camera or, you know, just any kind of a cheap megapixel camera, and you take the software that comes with it.
Okay.
When their video, the actual Japan's JAXA video, goes over that threshold, if you capture that by hitting Control and Print Screen on your keyboard, and you cut it to any program like Paint on your computer, and you throw a little bit of light on that, this base lights up. It's amazing.
It lights up?
Yeah, it lights up. You know what I mean? Like, it's you can see it kind of in the shadows when the satellite's going over. Anyway, the defense minister of Japan, I think it was at the end of November, put out a statement saying that they're developing protocol for contact with aliens. And I think it's got to do with this discovery, because they got that HD satellite going around the moon right now.
Okay, we'll look into that. And we'll look into that indeed. I'm going to have a little surprise for all of you in just a second. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. I've got a minute and a half for you. Go ahead.
Caroline here.
Hi, Caroline here.
Hi, dear. I'm 76. Don't get turned off.
I'm not.
Thank you, dear. I remember when I was 3, and I know I was 3 because my sister wasn't born till a year later. I was having a dream, and I was walking on it was dark, a bleak, bare, flat surface. And there was a hill. And I reached the hill, but I couldn't get around it. And I woke up. And then I had another dream right after that, where I was in a cave, and it was just dark, but there were beautiful people there.
You think they really live there?
I don't know. I don't know. I was only 3.
But I think they do. Hey, every once in a while on the program, I'm reaching into the vault for a classic moment of the show, and some of you will remember this. Some of you new folks won't.
I'm going to read you a fax that I've got here, and I would like everybody to not call my wild card line. Please, if you're calling the wild card line, hang up, and I'm going to tell you why. Here's what I've got. Art, answer the wild card line. My boyfriend is in a small plane north of Las Vegas and is ready to fly into Area 51. He has been trying to call you by cell phone. Now, it's signed by a name, and I'm not going to give that name, so I will know when the right person calls me on the phone. But whether or not you're able to get through to me, I would like to tell you that two things may occur if you try to fly into Area 51. One, you will be forced down and interrogated and probably arrested as the least case. Or worst case, you will be shot down. And so I'm telling you, you should not do this. But if you're already in the air and you really want to call in, you go ahead and call me now on the wildcard line. And if you verify the person who signed their name here at the bottom, I will verify you as the person who sent the fax or the boyfriend of that person, and I will put you on the air. Again, let me tell you, Art, answer the wild card line. My boyfriend is in a small plane north of Las Vegas, ready to fly into Area 51. He's been trying to call you by cell phone, and here he is. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello there. Is this Art Bell?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, my name, I won't give you my last name.
Okay, wait a minute, sir. Hold on. The fax is signed by somebody named who?
Jill.
Jill, that is correct. So you are the one.
That's my girlfriend.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
Well, I'm up here from Fort Worth in my little airplane. It's a long sea I built myself. It's a Burt Rutan design with the Ford Canard. I'm not sure if you know the kind. It's an experimental aircraft.
No, I'm not.
Classified that, but not anymore.
No, tell me about it. What kind of airplane is it?
Well, it's a long easy. It's got 120 horsepower, like homing in it, but we had it board stroked and fixed it up a little bit. It usually flies around 140, 160 indicated airspeed. I'm right now at 7,000 feet. You know where this place called Indian Springs is?
Indian Springs, yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been flying now for about 45, 49 minutes here between Beatty, is that what you call it, and Indian Springs. And I figure I'd just go on up here and try to get into this Area 51. I'm right south of this Nevada test site, or Nellis Air Force Base.
Listen.
And I'm right outside this restricted zone.
Listen to me. When you fly into that zone,
yeah,
they are going to either force you down or shoot you down. Don't you know that?
Well, you know, I've been in a lot of Air Force bases, and I've been in the Air Force for many years. I'm an ex-Air Force, but I'm just going to tell you that, you know, as an American citizen, we have the right to know what's up there in this Area 51. And I've been listening to you boys talk about this. Hold on here. I'm making a turn. And, just a second here. And I'm going to go on up there and see what's going on. And I just wanted to let you know about that before I do that, don't you know?
How long do you estimate it's going to be before you...
I figure about 14 minutes. I can crank this baby up a little bit here. Let's do that. Let's crank this thing on up. We got some pretty good mountains here off to my west, don't you know? I'm turning up north right now, and I can see the Air Force Base out there in the distance. It's got three runways, it looks like. They're all lit up. And A-shaped. It's like north-south. Got a lot of desert up here, don't you, boys?
A lot of desert, yes. A
lot of desert
up here. You're liable to get yourself killed.
I'm sorry, sir. You have to speak so loud. I cranked this engine all the way up here.
I said you're liable to get yourself killed.
Well, we'll get up there in a few minutes, yeah, and we're just going to see what's going to happen, because this is a... I've got Red Crosses painted on this baby, and I got hospital on it, see? And maybe they're going to think that I'm on some kind of a mercy flight, and I'm just off course. And I've got the radios cut off, because you can have radio failure, don't you know? And so I'm going to hold this thing steady here about around 6,800 feet.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm a American. My family has been American for years, and I'm going to get down in here, and I'm going to find out what's happening.
All right, then why are you doing it at night?
Because that's the best way to get in here.
But even if you manage to overfly the area, what
I'm
do you...
I'm in the restricted zone. I just entered the restricted zone. I see a bunch of lights out there. It's like some kind of a search light coming on.
You're in the restricted zone now?
I just crossed that restricted zone. I'm going to drop this baby down.
You're going to get shot down.
Hold on here now. I got my pressure suit on. I don't really need one of this kind of aircraft. It's not like a jet, but it helps us. When I make the tight turns here, and I'm going to cut down here. Now, let's see what these boys are going to do. I don't see anybody coming up here yet. I just see a bunch of lights. But I'm pretty far from that Area 51. I'd figure about another 8-9 minutes here. And it's hard to calculate it right now trying to talk to you. I'm trailing an antenna out here about 30 feet so I can keep this phone conversation. If we get cut off, then... But I'm going to go up here and see what's going on. They say there's a bunch of UFOs and there's all kind of things out here. And I want to get this baby right down here about 1,000 feet. And we're going to see if there's any UFOs or anything out here, what's going on.
Listen, I think you're making a mistake.
Well, sir, I might be, you know, but, you know, our tax dollars pay for all this. And these boys, they've been hiding everything under all this black project and all this great funding and all this kind of thing.
Hold it. Don't you think that we have a right to national security secrets?
I think we have, not really, because you know they have these K-11 and K-15 satellites up there, and the Russians, they know what we're doing, and the Chinese, they've got satellites down here, they know what's going on. The only thing that don't know what's going on is the common folk like me and you. got a right to know because we're funding all this.
How long have you been planning this?
I got this thing down here by 1,000 feet. I've been planning this thing now. I'm right on the deck, not quite on the deck. I'm at 1,000 feet. Boy, they got light bulbs popping up everywhere. I'm telling you, they got searchlights. There's about 4 of them on here. And I've been planning this now for, anywhere from a month to 6 weeks. It took me a while to paint up the plane because I had to use that Imron. It's the only thing but stick to this gel coat I got on. This thing's built out of Kevlar and carbon fiber. I got it stressed, 8 G's positive, 10 G's negative. It's overbuilt. And I tell you what, I'm going to get down here and squirm like a little frog that's been dipped on by a big dog when I get down here. A few minutes here, I'll tell you that. Because I'm not going to... Hey, looks like there's an F-16 coming up here.
I wouldn't be surprised. You're making a mistake.
I'm scrambling somebody down there. He's got some afterburners on because I can see him. He's about 5 miles out. That old boy is cranking. Yes, sir. And I see something opening up here on the ground. It's I'm pretty low now. I'm starting to pick up all kind of buildings down here. I see something here is level with the ground, and just they're opening this thing up. There looks like something's coming up out of that. I can't tell you what it is. It must be on some kind of a. Hold on here. I got to make this turn.
All right.
I think this old boy's going to head up here for me.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, he's going to be up here right directly because he's in the F-16. Sure as hell. He's coming. Hold on here.
I would advise you to turn your...
Hold on in here. We can do this.
I would advise you to turn on your radio.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. We can do this now. Come on here. Hold on. This old boy's coming up here. Now, he's got his lights. He's got his lights on and he's flashing me.
Yeah, he's probably...
I'm waving at him. No radio, no radio. No radio. He don't know that.
Well, if I were you, I'd turn it on.
I hope folks are listening to Art Bell, because everybody listens to Art Bell.
Well, maybe if you're making...
I got to get some air speed.
You're making a bad calculation, because if they're not listening, you're going to be shot down.
I don't know what he's going to do here. He's rocking his wings at me right now. He's rocking his wings, and he's cutting in front of me. And you know this, don't cut in front of me now, because if he cuts that close, stay off. Stay off. He could, here's the vortex from his engine, from Pratt & Whitney engine. We're going to, just like twin tornadoes, if he gets too close, stay off, huh? Hold on here. I'm getting down on the deck. I'm going in. I'm getting down here. He ain't going to get me. I'm a bad damn veteran. He ain't going to get me there. They didn't get me over there. They're not going to get me over here now. Looks like some kind of rail gun coming up out of that elevator, that flat area over there that the doors opened up. It's got some kind of a weird-looking barrel on it with a light. And, hell, they're doing something. They're shooting at me now. Oh, God. No, baby, I'm going in. I think I'm going in.
Well, I'm not sure what we just heard. All I can tell you is I got a fax that read, Art, answer the wildcard line. My boyfriend is in a small plane north of Las Vegas and ready to fly into Area 51. He's been trying to call you by cell phone. I withheld the signature at the bottom of the fax so I could be sure that if I did get the person, I could verify it. Indeed, it was signed by Jill. Now, whether what you just heard was a hoax or the real thing, I have no way of telling you, and I have no way of knowing. You tell me.
How about that? Every once in a while, we'll pull out one of our classic moments. I love that clip.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
Yeah, thanks for the privilege of bringing you the program for Kara Scoburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.